08-2458, USA v. Brian Dodd. Mr. Jensen.
Yes, and if it pleases the Court, I am Jeffrey Jensen, and I represent Brian Dodds, who is the appellant in this action. On November 10th of 2005, the Milwaukee police got a call that there was a man with a gun threatening people at the corner of 37th and Galena in Milwaukee later in the evening. So they immediately drove to 37th and Galena, and when they got there, they found nothing. And so while the officers are there scratching their head, wondering what this is all about, they're approached by a man in a red car, and that's as detailed a description as we got in the evidence at trial. And this man in the red car allegedly told the police that there's a man down on 35th and Galena threatening people with a pistol. And this man in the red car further told the police that this man down on 35th and Galena was a short, black male wearing a black parka with a fur-lined hood. And so the police immediately drove to 35th and Galena, and they claimed to have seen a short, black male wearing a black parka with a fur-lined hood walking very quickly into a bar that was there. They went into the bar and they apprehended Mr. Dodds, who was the short black male wearing the black parka, and a search of the area revealed this pistol. And so Mr. Dodds, having been convicted of a felony under the name Horace Wilson, was charged with a felon in possession of a firearm. I wouldn't normally spend so much time on the facts, but I think it's important in this case, because the way the issue has developed in this case, the question is whether the comments of the man in the red car to the Milwaukee police officers is testimonial hearsay under Crawford versus Washington.
It's not hearsay because it's not offered for the proof of the matter contained therein. It's just to show probable cause why they made the arrest.
Well,
two different things.
The prosecutor tried that argument, but I don't think it flies because, first of all,
he tried the argument where? At a trial level?
Yes, that was exactly the argument that the prosecutor made, was it's not hearsay. Well, first he said it is hearsay, but it's an excited utterance.
Well, that's one way. But the other way is that it's not offered for the proof of the matter contained herein, so nobody gives it.
Right, except this is how it came out at trial, Judge. The question was, and what caused you to go to that intersection? Your interaction with this person on the street? Answer, yes. So he had that.
Bingo.
But then he continued on, and this is the question and the answer that's at issue here in this appeal. And what were you looking for at that intersection? Answer, a description we were given. Question, and for the record, what was the description? And then there was this objection on the grounds of hearsay and confrontation that was overruled, and the witness said the black male wearing a black jacket, and I believe it was a black knit hat. So it was more than just explaining.
No, it wasn't. That's why they made the pitch. It's probable cause. If somebody came tearing by and says there's a guy down there shooting somebody and they tore off and grabbed him, could that go in to show that they went and got the guy that was shooting?
Well, and this goes, that's a fair question, and it goes to the Davis versus Washington modification of testimonial hearsay.
Not hearsay. It's only hearsay if it's offered for the proof of the matter contained therein. It's only offered for proof of identification for show of probable cause why they pinched him.
Okay. Well,
if they hadn't pinched him, they ought to have been fired from the police department.
For the sake of argument today, I'll be willing to concede that it's not hearsay. But the fact that it's not hearsay doesn't address the confrontation issue, which I'm more concerned with on behalf of Mr. Dodds.
What confrontation?
Well, I was not allowed, as the trial lawyer, I was not able to, I should say, cross-examine the man in the red car.
Well, that's true, because you wouldn't anyway.
Right.
If you were walking out of the police station and some passerby came by and yelled, there's somebody down there with a gun shooting, you wouldn't be able to cross-examine him either.
This is why
I couldn't cross-examine him.
This is why I thought a brief recitation of the facts was important. because there was only one factual issue at this trial. And the factual issue was not the identity of Mr. Dodds. The factual issue was whether he possessed the firearm. And this comment of the man in the red car, which I maintain violated the Confrontation Clause.
They didn't find a gun on him or any place near him.
Well, they didn't find it on him. They found it at the side between the houses and the bar. Uh-huh. So the issue was whether Dodds was the one who possessed the firearm. And we have this man in the red car telling the police that the man who had the gun, this goes to the very heart of the issue for trial, that the man in the gun was wearing a black parka, a fur-lined hood, and is a short black male. In other words, described Brian Dodds to a T.
But also there's another issue of harmlessness here, too, because the police said they saw him emerge from this area where the gun was found, and his fingerprint was on.
Well, that is true, and
you're doing a marvelous job. Don't slow down.
Okay, well, I'll try not to slow down. But I do want to talk, and I will address that, Judge. But I first want to talk about whether this is testimonial hearsay or not, because I think that is the important issue. If it's not testimonial hearsay, we don't even need to talk about harmlessness. We don't even get to that point. And the government's argument is based on Davis versus Washington that this is not testimonial hearsay because it was information given to police officers about an ongoing emergency. And in Davis, the facts were that a woman called up on the 911 system and said that and described that she was in the process of a domestic violence situation and named the person who was doing it. And in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that isn't testimonial hearsay because from an objective standpoint, that is information being given to the police to address an ongoing emergency. Here, we don't know. In Davis, we know who said it because she was identified. We know what she said because it was recorded. It didn't rely on what the police officers say was said. In this case, we have hearsay, in my opinion, of the worst kind. It's an anonymous tip. We don't know who said it. We don't know whether they were in a position to actually observe what they claim to have observed. We don't know even whether this may have really been the person with the gun trying to throw the police off the trail. So I think this is clearly testimonial hearsay because it is said to the police in the context of investigating a crime. From an objective standpoint, it's completely unreliable because we don't know who the person is. We don't know how they came upon the information. And there certainly was no ongoing emergency at the time the information was given to the police. So I think the answer is yes, it is testimonial hearsay. So I can move on to the question about whether this is harmless or not. And it's always awkward for a defense lawyer or an appellant to talk about harmless error, because the issue is whether the result would have been different but for this evidence. And I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know what the result would have been had this evidence not been put into the record, but I will say this. The one and only issue in this case was whether Brian Dodds was the man who possessed the firearm that night. And as much as we use words like overwhelming evidence, the fact of the matter was that Jerry Woods and his girlfriend Dawn, who were supposedly several feet away from the man with the gun, one identified the person as Dodds, but the other one didn't. Biological material was removed from the gun. It belonged to three people. None of them were Mr. Dodds. Mr. Dodds himself testified that he was not the one who possessed the weapon that night. And so this is not a situation where the evidence was overwhelming. The only witness in the government's entire case who was able to testify that Brian Dodds possessed that weapon was Ms. Woods. And then her testimony was corroborated by this anonymous man in the red car who I was not able to cross-examine about the truthfulness.
And the fingerprints.
There was one fingerprint, yes, on the barrel. So the fact that this evidence goes to the very core of the factual issue at trial, I think calls or mandates that it be found not to be harmless.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Jensen. Mr. Giampietro.
Good morning again, Your Honors. May it please...
Mr. Giampietro,
time
has fled since last week.
Thank you,
together.
Your Honor. May it please the Court, again, Gordon Giampietro on behalf of the United States. I don't think there was any error as to either issue raised by the defense, and certainly, as Judge Evans has indicated, from the government's perspective, any error was certainly harmless. The testimony of Dawn Woods was very emphatic at trial. She also picked him out of a lineup within a couple hours of the incident, that this was the individual who pointed the gun in my face.
How do you respond to Mr. Dodd's point that the prosecutor phrased the questions in such a way as to not simply elicit an explanation for why the police proceeded as they did, but to emphasize that Mr. Dodd's actually, you know, matched the description that had been given to the police?
Well, unlike the prior case, Your Honor, I was the prosecutor in this one, so it's my fault. It was unintentional. It was certainly not my goal. I had the testimony of Dawn Woods coming up and the testimony of Jerry Watkins coming up. I felt perfectly comfortable that they were going to identify the defendant. The error that what I would do differently next time, Your Honor, is probably ask for a limited instruction. The defense did not ask for a limited instruction, and I did not ask for one either. This probably would have been solved entirely if I had done so. But no, there was certainly no plan to get this testimony in and actually offer it for the truth of the matter because, again, as I say, I had Dawn Woods and Jerry Watkins about to testify. So with respect to both issues, there was no error in this case, and certainly that error would have been harmless. And if there are no further questions, I will ask the Court to affirm. Thank you.
Well, the case will be taken under advisement.